this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Bay. Good morning. It's good to be back in the United States of America. I miss St. Louis. I miss you guys, but I don't miss the cold weather. My name is Macklin Basse from Togo, the place to go. Despite all the news that you heard about my home country, Togo, I still tell you Togo is the place to go. Togo has been the news this past month a lot. And if you want to know about it, if you want to understand what is going on, maybe we can talk later. But here's maybe the key element of it. After our independences in the 60s, and with the benediction of France, the colonial power, one family from my tribe became the leader of the country, Nyasingbe Eyadema. This is a complex situation. And since then, 63 till now, the same family ruled the country. And you wonder how in the world this is possible. I don't want to jump in that very quick because with tribe issues between north and south, I don't want to give you the impression that I take things lightly about what is going on between Kabye and Ewe, the two main tribes of Togo. I want to start with the good news of the gospel this morning. Jesus came on earth to give his life for sinners like you and me. And he said, I will build my church, and even the gate of hell cannot prevail against it. In other words, I will build my people. I will save my people. And nothing can stop me from doing that. This is our Lord Jesus' words. Without this word of our Lord Jesus, I'm not sure we could be hopeful for places like RDC, Congo, places like Togo, Sudan, Burma, Nepal, Syria. Without this word, I don't know where we could be. Where our brothers and sisters are facing death, persecution, famine, and poverty. Every day, politics within those countries and international plots are the main factors of evil doing. When power, money control, when those two things are in the life of our leaders, every single day they are capable of doing very bad things. We cannot grasp the fullness of Jesus' words without understanding the level of evil in such context. Here, our daily life in the West most of the time is manipulated by the media. And people have no clue about what is really going on. People are dying. People are killed every day and face torture like hell. Since 1996, more than 6 million people were killed in Congo. Genocide. More than 6 million people died. And nobody really talks about it. According to UN Refugee Agency, Sub-Saharan Africa hosts more than 26% of the world refugees population. Over 18 million people in this region are of concern of UNHCR. How can we advance the kingdom of God in such desperate environment? Is it really possible to stand against international mafia such as multinational business corporation? Is it really possible to stand against them? To stand against oil companies, powerful diamond mining corporation? Is it really possible to stand against them? Or is it possible to stand against the local mafia politicians who are backed by those corporations? Foreign powerful government and military forces. Is it really possible? Is the voice of the church relevant in such a difficult context? How do we try to advance the kingdom of God back home? How is it possible? I have maybe 6 points to share with you very quick. We do not have a different gospel. We have the same message of the gospel. We have to believe the word of God and live it out. By deed of justice, compassion, and mercy. In our poverty, we learn to be generous toward one another. This is the reality of community lives. We learn to do that every day, even being poor. Second, we stand against tribalism and ethnic divisions. Go everywhere. Search for yourself about wars, troubles. The deep roots, is found in tribalism. One tribe against another tribe. So Togo has two main tribes, Ewe and Kabye. By the way, when I went back 7 years ago to start our ministry, I hired as secretary a lady from a different tribe. And I was really attacked by people from my tribe, saying, "What in the world you can do this? She's from different tribe. Your young sister need a job. Why you didn't pick her up?" I said, "This is not what we are called to do. We are called to tear the walls of tribes in the church." Three, We got to pray. We got to pray for peace and shalom. There's no other options. We pray for everything. You have an appointment, you want to go to the doctor, you got to pray. Here, when the doctor want to see you, he will call you and tell you maybe 15 minutes to make sure that you be in the room. We don't have those options. You go to the hospital, you can spend the whole day waiting to see a doctor. My dad passed away last year because of that. Nobody in the hospital really cares. He sat there waiting for the doctor. We were told to show up at 9 o'clock, and the doctor came around 4 p.m. You got to pray for everything. We have no other options. Four, we need your prayers and your help. Please stand with us in prayer. And I want to challenge the church in the West. Please pray. I was shocked one day when I went for a prayer meeting in the United States. I don't want to say the place. We were called to pray and fast, and we went to that meeting. And people were talking about prayer for the whole time. People were talking about prayer. And then when they saw that the watch was almost, the time was gone, like 2-3 minutes before the end, they said, okay, let's pray. No, brothers and sisters, don't talk about prayer. Pray. Pray with us. We need you in this battle. Five, short and long-term missions are important. Short and long-term missions are important to strengthen the body of Christ over there. I know many people are, some people are concerned about the money you will spend for short-term missions. They said it's a lot. It's true. But I want to maybe put before you Christ's perspective on things. Jesus said, you remember? You can gain the whole world. But if you lose your soul, what's the gain? So Jesus is putting on the balance one soul with the whole world wealth. Think about it. Short-term missions and long-term missions are important to strengthen one another, to strengthen the body over there. Six, please, church in America, you have the freedom of speech. You have it. It's in the Constitution. Bring the truth out. Do not be quiet. Do not be silent. Bring it up. Let your government know what is happening with Boko Haram, with jihadist movement. Let them know you have the freedom to speak. I cannot do it in some places. Bring it up. Do your own research about what is going on. I do not trust your media. I do not. They are controlled. If you take your time, your money to travel, you're going to get a different perspective of things. So speak. Let your people know what is going on in the oil business. Some members of our church in the United States are shareholders of companies like Total and Shell. Maybe you are. Let them know what is going on. African church cannot do this alone. Because we are together in this kingdom movement. We are in this arch together. Let us do it together. Come and help. Come also and learn from people. Come and learn from poor Christians. Despite our poverty, hardship and troubles, your brothers and sisters in my place are the most joyful people you ever seen in your life. How come? This is the power of the Holy Spirit at work. Come and learn to be content. When, I will say it again, when people back home say, Lord, give me my daily bread, they mean it. They truly mean it. When I say, Lord, give me my daily bread, sometimes here, the food is in the fridge. Come and learn how we live every day with the little that we have. I cannot forget that day when I saw this widow who came to my house with her two little kids. She came, I was by myself, and she said she want a job. I told her, we don't have job for you. And I was quick to send her out. I believe God put this word in my thoughts. I said, where's the father of these two littles? Their name, Favor and Israel. Where's the father? She looked at me and she said, very intensive look, she said, he passed away 2 years ago. When she said it, immediately my brain came back to this conference, to what I learned from New City Network. What I learned when I was doing ministry back in the state. I said, I cannot let her go. I said, okay, do you have food to eat today? She said, no. And I know she was telling the truth. I gave her, I believe, 5,000 of our money, which is $10. And I asked her to come back the next day. And I said, come and meet with my wife. So she came back the next day. And my wife said, we got to do something. We got to do something. To make the story short, these two little ones are part of my family today. I love them. Everything from food to clothing, school, depend on us. So they are adopted in the family. How do we advance the kingdom of God? In a very little steps like this. To invite those around us to be part of our daily lives. You visit me, my house is packed with kids. Every single morning, we have 200 kids in our small school who stay there, including Muslim kids, who will come and learn the love of God, learn science, learn math, learn how to read, and they will eat. This is how we do it. We cannot do it alone. Please, come. Come and help. Come and visit. Because God is at work in the world, saving lives from all tribes, including my tribes. God bless you. Amen.
So I'd like you to take just a moment and pray around your table. Just cry out for the people of Togo. Pray for Macklin. There is a large group of pastors and churches there that he's connected with, and they just need our support and need us to pray. So do it. Just pray and cry out for God's help and blessing.